Britain. Election 2024. Lights, camera, in action. Keir Starmer's election campaign is very dull. This is good for Labour.
It is 2 days after the general election was called and Keir Starmer, the leader of the Labour Party, is on the campaign trail. Keir likes to meet people in a natural way where they are. In Ipswich, he once went to the bingo to find people where they are. In Blackpool, he went on the beach, on the pier, to find them. Today, he is visiting a builder's merchant in Lancashire. Sophologists believe there are also people in Waitrose in Islington, but Keir seems less bothered about them. In Lancashire, a freshly washed forklift truck waits on the tarmac to allow Keir to meet its driver, naturally, as he walks past. Less naturally, its driver is not doing any actual work, or, a fellow employee explains, Starmer would have to chase after him to talk. For Keir is here not just to meet people where they are, but ideally to have them stay there for long enough to have his photo taken with them. Election campaigns are odd things. In theory, Keir is in Lancashire to see a business at the heart of the manufacturing industries. In truth, the manufacturing on any election campaign is that of carefully curated clips to be shown and reshown in the media and on social media. By the time Keir arrives at today's two venues, he also visits Glasgow, they feel, with their lights, speakers, cameras, wires and officious flunkies with clipboards, more like film sets than anything real. If his visits are minutely stage-managed, it is with reason. These pseudo-events, as academics call them, have been an unavoidable part of political life since at least the 1970s, when Margaret Thatcher first cuddled a calf for photographers. It died shortly afterwards. The potential for them to go wrong very fast is high. The list of campaign casualties includes Gordon Brown, the Prime Minister at the time, calling one voter a bigoted woman, and John Prescott, then the Deputy Prime Minister, punching another. It also includes Boris Johnson doing almost anything, though Fridgegate, when he hid in a fridge to avoid being interviewed, was a notable low. Politicians on campaign enter a really hostile environment, says Tom Baldwin, author of Keir Starmer, the biography. To go into it relaxed and genuine is like going into jungle warfare singing folk music. Good people have tried to do it, and they have been eaten alive. No wonder, then, that political parties usually have ops teams who sweep a venue before any engagement to find and neutralise any unflattering visual metaphors. In 2019, when Theresa May was in danger of being ousted as Prime Minister by members of her own party, a crack team carried around gaffer tape in different colours so they could tape over door signs lest she be photographed next to a sign saying Exit, a trap that Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister, has already fallen into. In the general election campaign later that year, Mr. Johnson's lackeys carried a supply of butcher's hats in case he had to visit a kitchen and confine his vote-winning hair beneath a hairnet. As a former flunky says, this seems weirdly neurotic, but it matters. The problem is not just the press, but the person. An extrovert such as Mr. Johnson could cope with or even revel in humiliation. Keir could not. While Mr. Johnson was larger than life, Keir is somehow smaller than it. The former human rights barrister has been described as a mystery wrapped in a riddle, wrapped in something sensible and beige. He often quotes things people have said that stay with him. Mind you, it is not surprising that they stick in his mind. People apparently say such unexpected things to him as, Keir, we know that you understand stability, rather than, Keir, what on earth are you doing in a bingo hall in Ipswich? Or, why do you keep referring to yourself in the third person? He is not a natural. Though he is also not as awkward as he used to be. At the builder's merchant, he looks swisher, more silver-haired, more at ease than the Keir of a year ago. He is still not exactly charismatic, but when people speak, he listens. If they ask him a question, he answers. In between, he doesn't call them a bigot, punch them, or hide in a fridge. That may be enough.